to enrich. You know, in the secular world, this could mean something to someone, and in the Christian world, it means totally something different. First, I like to take a word, and I like to go back to the etymology. Where did it come from? How did it get started? And the word enrich started as an Indo-European word, ped. And it means to fill or to be full. And from this comes the Greek from our scripture is pletos, which is to say to fill, or when you go to the prime and be full. And that's what to enrich means. Is in the Christian sense, it means to be full of the Holy Spirit, to be full of the seal of God. That is to say, His knowledge, His Word. But why is it that God's people perish? For lack of knowledge. To be running on empty. To be going nowhere. And to know nothing. And certainly that's quite the opposite of pel, or to be full. To be enriched in the Word of God. This is a very simple thing, but at the same time, it's something you really need to grab hold of, especially in this generation, because you need to keep that tank full, that is to say, the seal of God, knowing exactly what's going to happen. So we're going to start out in one of the most simple teachings of Christ, and that's the parable of the sower. When he sowed the seed, broadcasting it like you would in a field by hand, okay? A human being can take about a 30-foot swath, okay, of broadcasting by hand and do a pretty good job if you have a little experience. And the seed just falls wherever it may. It's not drilled in. It's not put in precisely. It's just broadcast, meaning it hits. It's kind of like broadcasting a message by television or radio. You never know where it's going to hit or what it's going to accomplish. And naturally, he took advantage of that because some of them are going to fall on a hard path. And what's going to happen to them? They can't take root. It can't grow. And some of them are going to fall in a thorny place. This you all know. But inasmuch as this symbolizes the Word of God, open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to pick it up with the 18th verse where Christ begins to explain the parable of the sower. Okay. What happened to those seed? In verse 18, knowing this, that the seed is the Word of God. When a truth hits your mind and you have eyes to see and ears to hear, when your mind opens and you are filled with that thought, it sticks. It stays. Verse 18 of the 13th chapter of Matthew reads, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." In other words, I'm going to explain it to you. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart, that's to say his mind. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. In other words, he didn't have a chance. Wayside is what? A path. It's too hard, pounded down. And unfortunately, when you hear a word and don't understand it, it's like idle words. It goes over your head. There's no depth there for you to understand. And many people are that way, my friend. You can talk to them all day, and they're not going to hear the word. It's not going to take root. Okay? And verse 20, "And he that receiveth the seed into stony places," that means a hard-hearted person, a hard, stubborn-minded person, "the same as he that heareth the word," and a noun, this word in the Greek means instantly, "with joy receiveth it." Boy, just what a good word. Have you ever run across somebody like that? That just, man, they just grab that word and run with it. But what happens? What happens? 21. "Yet hath he not root in himself." It just wasn't meant to be. Wasn't called of God, probably, as far as God the elect are concerned. "But dureth for a while." He hangs in there and studies for a while. "For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of what? Because of the word. By and by, that same word is a noun, instantly, he's offended. A lot of people, you know, will hear the real truth and they're so excited about it. Now, I'm going to run to my preacher. And naturally, their preacher sees them leaving out the door, okay, funneling off the truth. And they're going to say, you don't listen to that kind of thing. And instantly, they're offended by it or made light of. And they're going to drop it. They're going to leave it. Okay. This is why coming out the gate, always think for yourself. Don't worry about what the world thinks. What do you think this world is? Do you think it's perfect? Do you think there's a lot of people out there that know exactly what's going on? No. So it's up to you to make the decision for yourself in relationship to God's word, the seed, in your mind as to how you react to the world. Right? Because there's an eternity coming. Are you going to be there? That's where real riches comes from. That's where we all long to be. Are any of us perfect? No. But thanks God for the riches. Again, there's that word of His grace. Unmerited favor. He loves us anyway. When you repent and come into that truth and stay with Him. But some are just carried away when they are offended by the word. Verse 22. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. I mean, actually hears it. You got that? That means hears with understanding. And the care of this world age, not the one that was, probably is not aware of it even, and the deceitfulness of riches. This is riches pale in a bad way. The very riches of the world choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Unfruitful means he's not productive. So what does that tell you in your mind? What is God telling you here by the seed? That if you receive it and you do it his way, you're going to be productive. You're going to be fruitful. That means the real manna that is important of the world, you're going to have. No one can take that away from you. You don't have to be a pauper to be a Christian, and there's no shame in being rich with God's blessings and with God's profitability. That is to say, when you follow Him using common sense in this world, having money, that's not a sin. Okay. A lot of ministries would have you believe Christ was poor. Christ was not born poor. Okay. His uncle, Joseph of Arimathea, was a very wealthy man. That's whose tomb Christ was buried in to fulfill that prophecy. So never apologize for being rich like all of you are. Okay. But when you leave off, though, the Word of God and just concentrate on riches of the world, you lose contact. You become unprofitable as far as God is concerned. And you know something? That's a bad thing because He's the judge. And what concerns Him on your behalf is very important. What He thinks of you. Because there is a day coming. He tells us a little bit about it in the next verse, 23. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. That's important. That's why true wisdom is to simplify the word of God whereby anyone can understand it. That's wisdom, beloved. It comes with that understanding, which also bears fruit. It's going to produce. You don't have to worry about it. You're going to have fruit. And bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. In other words, our Father is able, through that seed, the Word of God, that when you are following Him, He's going to see that you are fruitful, that you produce fruit. And that goes in the spiritual sense as well as the way of the world. Our Father is not blind to your needs. He knows what you have need of. And He's always, when you are working for Him, you can rest assured if you utilize common sense, you're going to be fruitful. You're going to produce. If you're not producing, something's wrong. Something's missing. What is it? I don't know. You know. If you analyze and take inventory, turn on over to Matthew 16. I want to pick it up here where Christ is talking about things that are important and things that are not. Matthew 16, let's go with verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, that means his students. Disciple means disciplined. Those that are disciplined in that seed, which is to say his word. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That means if you're going to be a disciple of mine, if you're going to follow me, let me come first. What is a cross for? It's to crucify somebody on. In other words, be willing in the flesh to spiritually die, if you would, and live for Him. Think, in other words, let your mind be upon Him and upon His children. That is to say, have compassion on people. Think about people. Care about people. That means be a good neighbor. Be a good friend to those that will allow you to be a good friend. Some people won't, okay? Don't ever feel bad about that. Paul would say, get along with your neighbor if it be possible. Sometimes it's not, okay? I mean, you maybe have run across one or two like that in your lifetime. I don't know. Verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whoever picks up self-salvation, I'm going to save myself, save my own soul in this world today. I'm going to get street smart and fulfill every act of it. That won't get you anywhere, hardly, okay? Good thing to be street smart to understand how some people live. But your soul is precious. Do you know, according to Ezekiel 18:4, who your soul belongs to? He owns it, lock, stock, and barrel. You don't really have anything to do with it. It's not yours to give Him. He's already got it. All souls belong to God. That's what Ezekiel 18:4 says. And whosoever shall lose his life, that's to say his soul, for my sake shall find it. In other words, If that's what a cross is for, okay, is crucifixion. They crucified Him on one. They're not going to crucify you. You may feel like it if you're delivered up before the false Messiah sometime, but He's coming as Jesus, not a crucifier, okay? So you don't have to worry about it. But you have to be that serious that you know your salvation hinges on Him, and that when you make that stand for Him, you find your life. And that means, hey, do you think that means, how old are you going to be when you die? Well, nobody knows, really, do they? But we're not talking about that kind of life. We're talking about life eternal. We're talking about forever. You'll find it. It'll be there for you. The eternity in the kingdom of Almighty God here on earth, practicing that is so very, very enjoyable and fulfilling and rich. What a time that we look forward to. So if you give your soul over to the way of the world today and decide, I'm saved, I'll save myself, you're going to lose it. It's just that way. If you start looking at the riches of the world and totally put aside Christ, you got trouble. And friend, hey, you got room for both. Okay, you know, you got a big mind. You don't have to worry about having more than one thought at a time to be able to chew gum and walk at the same time. Okay, you can cut it. because you're a can-do type person. Verse 26, for what is a man profited? This word profit is ophelo. Comes from that same word fell, to fill, to be profited, to fill her up, okay? For what man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world, if he owned every stick of it, and lose his own soul? Question. He lost everything. Why? You're not going to be in eternity. You're not going to make it. Boy, that is final. And that is serious. That's bad. Okay. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you worth? Well, you know something? You're a child of God. You're a son or a daughter of the living God. And your soul is important. It's valuable to Him. Why would you throw it away when it's so useless? When you can amount to something. What does He want? Love. Love is a fantastic thing. When you love your neighbors in the way a neighbor should be loved, love a friend in the way a friend should be loved, your family, and to love Almighty God. For He certainly loved us. He loved us enough that when it came right down to it, He knew how weak we are when it comes to making a stand. He made that stand for us right on that cross. He did not whimper. He didn't say, let's put this off till tomorrow. He did it for you. Why? Love. Love for you. That you would have that unmerited favor. The riches of that unmerited favor in your life today. That is just very precious. And verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels. Going to bring your past, your loved ones that have passed on, some many of them, with Him. And then He shall reward every man according to his works. W-O-R-K-S. Not faith. Works. This is why it's important that what is works? Love is a form of work. Okay. I've received letters from housewives and says, I've never been able to go out and work. I've raised six kids, kept my old man happy and in clean clothes, and I've just never been able to work. And man, what a worker she is. Okay. That's a precious work, is raising God's children. You don't find a better work than that. Okay. It's precious. That's, works are just loving God and His children. Okay. And providing in your own, for your family, and being a blessing, quite frankly, to all you come in contact with. Why? Because they say, that was Christian. They won't say that, maybe, but it's that you advertise yourself. When you live what He would have you do, when you have that seed, that knowledge sealed, and you're rich with it within yourself, that compassion spills over because it is needed in this world today. 28, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. And this lets you know when the kingdom of God came to be. What was Christ's prayer in Matthew 6? Father, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth. It's when it began on earth, when Christ resurrected and when He returned. They saw Him, and He is the King, and this earth is His dominion. He even gave us power over all of our enemies. That's to say, even Satan, in His name, that's to say Christ's name, if you are horse enough to have faith enough to believe it, you can order Satan out of your life. And He has no choice but to go. So, you see, He did that. He established that kingdom. And all you got to do is to believe, to step right in, to become a part of that. And what a fantastic love our Father has for His children, that He made this way, that believing you can participate and have a part. Let's go on to Matthew chapter 27. I want to document to you that there's no sin or anything that would hinder a rich person, okay? You don't have to apologize for being rich. Matthew chapter 27, and I won't pay verse 57. And this is when Christ was on the cross. He had been crucified. And coming to Pilate, we have Joseph of Arimathea, verse 57 of Matthew 27. When the eve was come, there what came a rich man. A rich man. He made no apology for it. Didn't have to. Came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. In other words, he was a believer. You can't just take that word disciple and stick it on a non-believer. It won't fit. Because it means he was disciplined in the way of Christ, just as you must be. You must learn discipline. Discipline means you stick with it. Discipline means you don't take a detour because it seemed right. You stick straight on course with the Word of God. But Joseph of Arimathea being, why would he go? Because he was Mary's uncle. He was a blood relative. He was a kinsman redeemer, meaning fulfilling that right biblically, that he had the right to claim the body. You got that? He wasn't just going there because it was handy. It was his right as kinsman redeemer to claim that body. And because we know from traditions of Glastonbury that Christ as a child went with him many times to Glastonbury with Joseph of Arimathea. It is history, not Bible, history of man. Easy to follow, easy to document being a fact, okay? So here we have this rich man, he's the one that has the right to claim Christ for burial. Think about that. So certainly, you never have to apologize for being rich in God's blessings, and certainly Joseph was. It's only rich with ill-gotten gains that you'll never be able to sleep at night. You'll always be looking over your shoulder. You'll never find peace of mind. But rich with God's blessings, of that you've earned, and that is really yours, never apologize for it. Verse 58, he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. What? It was his right. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, 60, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Do you realize that's fulfilling scripture right there? Isaiah chapter 53 verse 9. That Jesus would die with malefactors. He had one on each side of him on the cross. But that he would be buried with the rich. And it's because it was his uncle. And therefore fulfilling that verse, Isaiah 53:9, that he would be buried in a rich man's tomb. And it came to pass exactly that way. Okay. So, again, there you have it, paths to be full. You have to understand riches because they mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And the richest thing in the world, I tell you, is to be filled with the seal of God. That is to say, to have the seed, the word, with understanding, to know what tomorrow brings. For our Heavenly Father chose a people that have, even before the foundations of this earth age, that would intercede and pull many more through love and compassion to hear that word and to hear that truth. That's the way our Father operates. Turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 1, speaking of chosen before the foundations of this world. Ephesians chapter 1. And it reads, this is old Paul. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints, that's the set aside ones, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. To who? Faithful. In other words, those that are not playing church, those that are faithful and disciplined in the word. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. This blessed us what? Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Were you ever in a heavenly place? Did you ever receive a blessing in a heavenly place? Where is heaven? Heaven is wherever God was. If God chose you in the beginning, you had to be pretty nearby. Because we're going back a long way here. We're going back even to that that was. Verse 4, listen and learn. Listen and hear. According as he hath chosen us in him, before, I repeat, before the foundation of the world, that's to say, the eon, this is age. In the Greek, the noun is kasabo, the overthrow, before Satan's overthrow. And those of you with companion Bibles, make a note of Appendix 146 if you have trouble understanding. That we should be holy and without blame before him in what? Love. Understanding. That, you know why? You know why he could do that? Because at Satan's rebellion, God's elect, those that were chosen before, they fought him. They fought him then, and they will stand against him again, even in this earth age. They will stand against him when they are delivered up to refuse him for what he is, allowing the Holy Spirit, because they're full of that Spirit, to speak through them, to enable others, not was it just because they're great? No. So that others can hear the real truth. So the word can go all the way around the world without doubt, because it wouldn't be you speaking but the Holy Spirit. Matthew 24 would have taught you that. Mark 13 will teach you that, quite simply. So chosen before the foundation. We're talking about riches here, beloved. We're talking about what is valuable to you, what is precious, and what is honored through Almighty God. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, not yours, his will, God's will. Why? He knows who, and he knows why, especially when it comes to elect. I guess you understand the word predestined. There is free will, but there's also predestination for God's election. You see, and you've heard me say this many times, but I feel it necessary to say it here. If you were chosen before the foundations, if you overcame there, then God can intercede in your life to bring prophecy to pass in this generation And he doesn't have to apologize for it or interfere with somebody's free will who didn't make it there and are trying to find that salvation here. God's not going to make them do anything unless they ask him. Okay? That's two ends of the spectrum. A predestination on this end and free will here. Does that make one better than the other? Not one iota. But it's God's truth, his word. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved. In other words, in the as first fruits, Christ being the head of the first fruits. 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches. Now there's that word pelu again, or poutos in the Greek there, that of his grace. Riches of his grace, again, what is grace? Unmerited favor, meaning you didn't really deserve all that. His total forgiveness, because you were a sinner. But he did it anyway because you asked. Because you leveled with him. Because you wanted his love. And he forgave you. That's the richness of his unmerited favor. And you can claim it. Now that's real, that's being real enriched. Is to have that grace, be under that grace. And have, be it to be that believer. Verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. That's to say, he opens it for you if you will study, if you will listen, if you will absorb. 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. What is the mystery of his will? Do you know it? It's to bring salvation to all of his children. You can kind of find what his will is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. It is the will of God that all come to repentance. That he is long-suffering, meaning he's got lots of patience. And when anyone helps, bring that one along that will hear, that will understand. Boy, does he count that work. Okay. That they were brought out of the darkness into the light, into the truth, that received the seed of knowledge. And Peh, they were filled with that knowledge and that wisdom, that mystery of God. You see, that mystery goes all the way back to the foundation of the world. It's a long time ago, but it's not difficult. Okay. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself and proposed. He did it himself. It's his idea, his plan of salvation. Beloved, never before has wisdom been so important as to what's going down. Why? Who's in charge? He is. The world is all troubled, and man, I mean, this leader and that leader and this other leader, they don't quite seem to understand. He does. And it's going to happen exactly as it's written. And you have the letter right here that he wrote to you explaining it. That wisdom in his mystery that he opens before you, that katabo, that overthrow in the first earth age. What was it then? The controversy. Same old devil working among God's children. Nothing new under the sun. And same MO that he uses today. That is to say, his same method of operation. He continues it. And that's why you can always recognize him. He always comes up to you and says, ain't you something? Ooh, you are one of the smartest people I think I've ever run across. And, oh, I mean, some people, you can just see them. They get taller immediately. You know? Boy, he recognizes talent, that's for sure, you know. Don't trust them, they're putting you on, okay? That's Satan's main trick, is to build you up and then say, but, okay? And unfortunately, that's where trouble can begin when he brings that word forth. Okay, continuing to the next verse there, we'll pick it up. In verse 10, listen carefully, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, that's up there with him, and which are on earth, even in him. And that dispensation of times is closing. We're bringing it together. That's what he wants, ultimately, is to, when Christ returns. Christ told you about it earlier. He said he's going to be coming with all of his angels, an army, the host. And Satan's not going to have a prayer. Michael's going to put him in the pit, and Michael's angels. And that's where he's going to be for the 1,000-year reign of real teaching. During the millennium period. What a time to live. That dispensation for those who are rich enough that they were chosen especially before the foundations of the world. 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. You talk about riches, listen to me. An inheritance being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. It says you don't find more wisdom than that, beloved. Not after the plan of some man that could go awry, but a perfect plan by Almighty God to bring about that dispensation of times that everyone would have an opportunity to hear and to have been in the path of the broadcasting of that seed with the Word of God, to hear that truth. 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, as others were, after that ye heard the Word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit in promise. Sealed, having the seal of God in your forehead. Satan can't touch you then, as it is written in Revelation chapter 9, verse 4. Satan is ordered, don't you dare touch mine elect. Don't you dare try to touch those that have the seal of God in their forehead. Why? It wouldn't do him any good. We're on to his tricks. We know where to tell him to go. And the fact is, he must go when we tell him. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Talk about riches. Unto the praise of his glory. Not ours, but God's glory. His glory. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, that's to say the Christians there, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's his prayer, that you could receive that knowledge, that understanding, that you, in the simplicity of God's Word, unclouded, straight. And again, what is true wisdom? True wisdom is to take that that is complicated, the Word of God, and simplify it where anyone could understand it, such as to enrich. What does it come from? The etymology of the word is pei. And pei means simply to fill. That's where the word enrichment came from in the Greek. It is pelutos, right in the manuscripts. And, of course, to be rich in the blessings of God. You know, God's promises are not idle. Again, never apologize for being rich. Joseph of Arimathea was rich. he was allowed as a disciple of Christ to claim the body of Jesus and to bury it in his tomb, whereby Isaiah 53:9 would come to pass, that he was buried with the wealthy. But true riches, again, are not what you have in this world, but in the world to come. That's where the true riches are. Do you know that God, how much does God own? He owns everything. If he wants you to have something, do you think that's a big step for a stepper? It's certainly not for him. He owns it already, okay? And he can provide it for you. Now, what that means is you've got to use common sense. A lot of people will read, well, God promised me if I prayed, he'd provide everything, so I'm going on vacation and just let him do it all. Well, you're going to be one hungry rascal, you know, before very long, because you're not doing anything. You're worthless, useless, not worth anything to God. If you're laying out there in the sun expecting him to take care of you, you've got one big row ahead of you. First thing that's going to happen, Satan's going to be there knocking on your door. I will help you. Yeah, right into hell he'll go. But God does care. I want you to, let's go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6 to close this. I want you to know how much God does care. You all remember where he said, there's not one little sparrow that falls and he doesn't know about it? And how, look at the lilies. I mean, you worry about what you wear. He said, look at the lilies. God dresses them, and they're more beautiful than the robes that Solomon wore. And who does that? God does. God created them in their beauty. He created your soul. Do you think he doesn't look after you? When you use common sense, when you use your head, to be successful in this world, you've got to be a little smarter than the people of the world, okay? And period. I won't say anything else about that, all right? You got to know how to just be blessed of God and not allow Satan or anything negative to sidetrack you. But anyway, to complete that, God does care. Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to pick it up with about let's take verse 29. I quoted it a moment ago. We'll read it. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like unto one of these. Wherefore, verse 30, wherefore if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Do you think he doesn't know what you need? If you use your head, if you follow him, if you let that truth, that compassion come into you where you do his work, that is to say in love and compassion, loving your family, helping them with just a word of kindness, goes a long way, okay? And doing his work, okay? Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, well, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what withal shall we be clothed? You know what that's saying? Don't worry. Worry won't add one second to your life if you believe and know. Don't you think God knows what you need? Do you deserve it? You've been working? Pick an inventory, doing the best you can, okay? Using your head, being smarter than the serpent, okay? And doing it God's way in love, okay? He said, well, what are you worried about? Do you know something? A worrier, his faith and belief are kind of shaky. Okay? Because he's not believing God. Okay? Then some people would say, well, you mean if I just believe, no, if you believe your work, if you believe, you'll know how to get it. Okay? And he'll bless you in it. You'll see that you get it. Okay? But friend, if there's any one thing that God dislikes, it's lazy people. Okay? Calls them sluggards. And in the Proverbs, do you know what he says a sluggard, a lazy person is like? Like a hinge is to the door, they're a hinge to the mattress. All they can do is flop from one side to the other. God says, and he says, I don't like it. So, you know, that shows you a lot why if that's what you are, you better worry. Okay? You're in a place where you better worry how to come out of that desperation and live. Be somebody. Be a child of God. You are. Act like it. Okay? So what he's saying is, don't worry. Okay? God knows. If he takes care of the flowers, you think he can't take care of you if you're a believer? Verse 32, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's people of the world seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. It's not a puzzle to him. He knows it. Okay? Well, does he know I need a new Cadillac? No, he thinks a Ford might do just as well. Okay? You know, that's, sometimes you have to understand he's going to get it down where the rubber meets the road here. All right? So, and do you know something? You still got to work for it. All right? So, he knows what you need, and he gives you the wherewith to be where all. Okay? Verse 33. But, you know, this is the condition. Okay? These buts will get you. All right? You want to really pay attention when one of these comes along, because this is what gets it answered. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, you do the work first and he'll pay you. I'm going to just put it in that terminology. In as much as we're talking about enrichment, I'm going to put it in the monetary sense. You do the work, he'll pay you. He always does. But what does that mean? Did it say, I'll pay you and then you do the work? That's not what it said. He said, first, seek the kingdom of God and do the kingdom of God, do his will. And then, after you've done it, come Friday, it's payday. I probably shouldn't say that, but I'm closing. And the Irish is beginning to get lively here, okay? So, he will always, always pay you. You know, this old church, the first time, 25 years ago, we purchased this old roller rink down here, they called us Holy Rollers for a while, okay? We didn't have an air conditioner, and I felt sorry for the people. I had to dig in my own pocket and come up with $800. You know, not that I minded, and I'm thank God I had it, okay? But I mean, it was bad. But then to show you that God provides, starting out like that, it wasn't wrong. Just, we didn't really plan it, that we have our own network. It goes around the world. We didn't find it. He did. Okay. He put it together. And, of course, we listened and we followed as best we could. He always provides. You can always count on it. Beloved, that's the true riches. He knows what you need. And if you work for it and plan for it, he'll see that you have it. But first, be disciplined in him, and think that will follow. 34, take take therefore no thought for tomorrow. In other words, don't worry about tomorrow. And you get these worry warts, and all they can do, I don't know if they enjoy it or what, but they spend half their time worrying. How is this going to do about it? It's going to happen. You know, read it. It's right here. He'll tell you what's going to happen. Yeah. Take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, to simplify it, today's trouble is enough for today, and tomorrow's will be the same. And you can cut it. You can handle it. You know, when you follow God and you're disciplined in Him, when it's too rough for everybody else, it's just about right for you. Because you're a can-do type person. You're like an old combat marine. You can always make one more hill. Okay? In serving God, He will see to it that you're able to do that. Okay. So, with that, knowing God cares and He promises. What's the etymology of the word enrich? It's pay. And then later picked up in the Greek manuscripts, plutos, being the same, to be filled with what? The Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Word of God. That's knowledge. And knowledge is one of the best things in the world. You know, knowledge is somebody you can talk to. They can communicate with you. And that's God's Word, His way. Let's thank Him for it. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for being our Father. Thank You for providing for us.